Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Esprit.net News.
I want to get the language right tonight.
This is America. My president is back.
Never let anybody tell you that your efforts don't matter.
This is not a war zone. These are unarmed people.
Politicians and commentators.
Don't let anybody take your man.
Does that remind you that I've done this before?
It doesn't make you tough to hurt these people.
You have tuned into Independent Thought Radio, where we cover world and national news with current affairs. Some good, some bad, but it's all the news you need to know. I'm your host, Jerome Esprit, bringing you straight talk outside the headlines. So sit back and relax, call in, or hit us up in chat. Now, as long as you're ready, we're ready.
All right, welcome again to Esprit.net News on Esprit Radio. On this program, President Obama comforts victims and the historic Louisiana flood. We're not talking about Katrina kind of flood, but we're talking about flood from raining. And a federal judge won't block guns from a Texas college classrooms. And private prisons, they're ending private prisons. The investors are now in court, the people who invested. I'm sure Michael Jordan is going to be there, but that's another story. We'll talk about that on today's program. And Ryan Lochte is charged with filing a false robbery report at the Reno Olympics. We have that this week in court and much more. So I just want to welcome you onto the program. You're listening to Esprit.net News on Esprit Radio. You know, this is where you get a week worth of news in just one sitting. Now, we are a weekly news summary show. So we're going to give you some news that you didn't learn on mainstream media. I want to say hey to everyone who's on the line. The chat room is open as well, so if you want to put your comments there, I may or may not read them. But, hey, you have an opportunity to put them there. Now, before I get started on the program, I think I want to start with a little history. You know, this week on August 22nd, 1791, was the Haitian Revolution. Now, it was the only successful revolt carried out by enslaved people in history. The revolution, the revolutionary struggle, which began under the leadership of, it's Boukman Doty, and it was the greatest revolution the world has ever known. Reportedly, he was a voodoo priest. You know how they throw that stuff out there. And as such, exercised considerable influence and command over his followers, who knew him as Zambia Boukman. Now, the night that he gave a powerful speech, in essence, it was a call to arms. It said, "The good Lord who created the sun, which gives us light from above, who rules the sea and makes the thunder roar, listen well, all of you. This God, hidden in the clouds, watches us. He sees all that the white man does. The God of the white man calls himself to commit crimes. Our God asks us only good works of us. But this God, who is so good, orders revenge. Now, he will direct our hands. He will aid us, throw away the image of God of the whites, who thirsts for our tears and listens to the voice of liberty, which speaks in the heart of all of us." Now, on the night of the 22nd of August in 1791, a tropical storm raged with lightning and gusty winds and heavy showers and rain. Within 8 days, the revolutionaries had devastated 7 parishes and completely destroyed 184 sugar plantations throughout the northern province. In less than a month, the count rose to over 400, which nearly added 1,200 coffee plantations. But just so that you know, This is the reason why the Louisiana Purchase happened and the United States was able to purchase past the Mississippi, because the French had it. But once the Haitian Revolution happened, the French, which was their base, decided to leave the area, and they sold Louisiana to the United States. There you have it. Just thought I'd give you a history moment in this. You're listening to Esprit Net News on Esprit Radio. You can call in and join us. Area code 323-693-3038. If you're on the line and you want to join the program, have any questions or comments, hit 1, and I'll bring you in. Or if you're checking us out in the archives, remember, check out espritradio.soulofsyracuse.com if you want to hear some more programs. I'm sure there's something on there on each program that you probably didn't know. Now, new U.S. single-family home sales unexpectedly rose in July, reaching their highest level in nearly 9 years, as demand increased broadly, brightening the housing market outlook. And 10 states and the District of Columbia saw statistically, statistically sufficient declines in their unemployment, because I didn't know why that was statistically sufficient, but declines in their unemployment rates over the past year. Now, with the largest of those decreases occurring in Arkansas, California, and Tennessee. So unemployment rates have gone down, and we have had the lowest unemployment claims in the country in the last 14 years. So along with that, that's what's going on in the job outlook side. Now, humans have been changing the climate for about 180 years. Now, that's they're saying researchers from an Australian national university said that warming started during the Industrial Revolution. They created the detailed reconstruction of climate spanning for the past 500 years. So if you want to check that out, it's researchers from the Australian National University and Canterbury, if you want to check it out. Now, Rolls-Royce, for those of you who are driving those cars, Rolls-Royce Holdings PLC announced this week that it received a $1.5 billion order for aircraft engines from China's Eastern Airlines, not the U.S. Eastern Airlines, but from China. They're getting Rolls-Royce engines, by the way. Now, the Oakland Raiders filed a trademark application for the Las Vegas Raiders for a potential move to the Sin City, which can include a $1.9 billion stadium. So that actually happened on the weekend. I didn't know you could file trademarks on the weekend, but there's a filing on the weekend for the Los Angeles Raiders, or for the Oakland Raiders, I'm sorry, to have now a Las Vegas Raiders. We'll keep an eye on that story and let you know. Now, after scanning the vast reaches of the cosmos for Earth-like planets where life might exist, astronomers have found one right next door. Now, a rocky planet that's Earth-like and slightly bigger has been discovered orbiting Proxima Centauri. Now, the nearest star to our solar system, by the way, is what scientists reported this week. It is probably in the not-too-hot, not-too-cold Goldilocks zone, is what they're calling it, where there's liquid water and the key to life. They're also saying that it is a mere 4.22 light years from Earth, or nearly 25 trillion miles away. Now, it is easily the closest potential habitable planet ever detected outside of our solar system. And one that could be reachable by a tiny unmanned space probe before the end of the century. So there you have it. They noticed something. And by the way, just for the record, we know more about the planets around us than we know about our own oceans. So I don't know what that means, but I think we need to check on what's going on here first. Now, President Barack Obama visited Baton Rouge on Tuesday to survey the historic floods in the area that damaged more than 60,000 houses and left 14 dead, and has so far resulted into 100,000 FEMA claims. Now, as far as the last reporting goes, the president had, before he traveled there, already allocated $100 million to FEMA for victims. So make sure you call FEMA and put in your claims if they haven't reached you by now. But the president and the federal government has kind of been on this. We'll have to see how this goes. And I'll keep you updated on that story as well. And to all my friends and family who are in those areas, I want to say hey and, you know, be safe and blessings to everyone there, and those people who lost loved ones as well. Now, First Lady Michelle Obama, you know, she may be the First Lady of the United States, but it doesn't mean that she lives in a bubble. Now, she had an interview with Variety Magazine, and the First Lady talked about how she used celebrity and television to further her initiatives while also dissing on music and television shows that she personally can't get enough of. She said there's a reason that she's earned the reputation as the cool First Lady, with approval ratings that regularly falls in the high 60s, but in 2014, the USA Gallup poll showed her approval ratings at 79%, and I'm sure they're probably going to be up there anyway. But she said, what I've never been afraid of is to be a little silly, and you can engage people that way. My view is, first you get them to laugh, then you get them to listen. So I'm always game for a good joke, and I'm not so formal in this role. She said there's very little that we can't do that people wouldn't appreciate. So I wanted to make sure I did that story just to say, you know, the First Lady is out there, and with all of the presidential stuff that's going on, we probably really we won't see this for anybody else's lifetime with such a cool First Lady and a president. And I know where this is going, but I'm going to go on with the news before I get on that path. Now, the Obama administration last week said that it will phase out its contracts with private prisons, affecting thousands of federal inmates. The decision announced by the Justice Department comes after an audit this month that found that private facilities have more safety and security problems than government-run prisons. So the federal prison population has been declining due to the changes in the sentencing policies over the past 3 years, reducing the need for private prisons. Now, private prisons serve an important role during a difficult period, but time has shown that they compared poorly to our own bureau facilities. That's what the Deputy Attorney General wrote in a memo to the acting director of the Federal Bureau of Prisons. So as of December 2015, private prisons held more than 22,000 prisoners, and that's only about 12% of the total federal prison population. That's according to the Inspector General's report released earlier this month. Now, the private prisons are now suing, their investors are suing the private prisons, saying that they were not aware that the government may or may not renew their contract. So they're in court with their investors now. And again, we know Michael Jordan invests in private prisons, but we're not going to even go there and talk about Mike today. You know, all right, now, since we talked about the revolution anniversary in Haiti, you know, it's only fitting that I do this story, and I know I didn't get a chance to talk about it before, but Dr. Julius Garvey, the New York surgeon, wants President Barack Obama to clear his father's name for mail fraud conviction that caused his father, Marcus Garvey, to be deported from the United States to his native Jamaica. Now, the son of the early 20th century Pan-Africanist, Marcus Garvey, said last week that his father's 129th birthday, which was marked last week, was the perfect day to begin a push for the president to pardon to exonerate Garvey for his unjust conviction. Now, the younger Garvey said that he lived his whole life with the fact that his famous father was a convicted criminal – which he believes is part of the reason that his father is less well known and accepted amongst mainstream Americans. Marcus Garvey was born in Jamaica on August 17, 1887. So he was considered by many people, including me, to be like Martin Luther King or Malcolm X, to be the father of the civil rights movement. He inspired millions of followers worldwide with the message of black pride and self-reliance, and the founder of the Universal Negro Improvement Association in 1914. It was considered to be the largest secular organization in African American history. Now, his Pan-African philosophy urged blacks to return to the continent of their ancestors. He launched the Black Star Line, which is a fleet of steamships intended to take him there, but it was more like cruise ships as well. And Garvey also was controversial because, not just because of his Back to Africa promotion and his campaign of racial separation. He also has a lot of writings that are out there, and he was born of the conviction that whites would never allow blacks justice. So that's kind of the undercurrent of everything with Marcus Garvey. But Garvey's family, along with supporters and fans, have filed petitions requesting that the White House and that the White House issue him a pardon, and they're waiting to see if the president will consider the request before he leaves office next year. Now, also, Jamaica's former president, Porter Simpson Miller, who was the president when President Obama went to Jamaica, she also asked them to pardon Marcus Garvey. Now, that wouldn't be a big surprise to me, but I'm hoping the president does pardon Marcus Garvey. Hey, hope I did my pitch well enough in case you're listening. Now, Golden Girl Simone Biles, she arrived back in the hometown of Texas. Hey, and shout out to Sugar Land and Aunt Teresa and everybody who's out in Sugar Land, but all of my family in Houston, just want to say hey. Now, she arrived back on Wednesday following the Olympic Games in Rio de Janeiro. Fans waved the American flag, cheered during the grand homecoming for the Olympic gold medalist at Intercontinental Airport. And Mayor Sylvester Turner was among the dignitaries on hand to proclaim Wednesday. That would be Wednesday, yesterday, August 24th. Simone Biles Day in Houston. So there you have it. And shout out to her. I know I didn't talk about her too much about the Olympics on our news program, but we will talk about all of the great women who performed in the Olympics. But she's got her own day, so let's give it up to her on her day. Now, I just want to remind you, you're listening to Esprit Net News. Our calling number is area code 323-693-3038. You know, sorry I didn't look at the board and the wallet, but I just want to say hey to everyone on the board. I was hoping nobody had their hand up to come in because I would have missed it. And if you're in the chat room, just want to say hey to you. And remember, you can always check us out in the archives at espritradio.soulofsyracuse.com. Now, French children as young as 2 are being taught to survive a terror attack in school or kindergarten as France ramps up their security measures in the wake of what they're calling deadly extremist attacks. Now, under the new training, students will be taught how to hide or escape depending on the situation and where they are. The measures include children in preschool and kindergarten from 2 to 6. Now, this is a sad world we live in when you start doing that to children. I don't know if you guys remember, but, you know, as a little kid, I don't really remember our nuclear test bomb shelter stuff, but I am sure we had that when I was little. Maybe they won't be scarred by it like I'm not scarred by it. I don't remember it. Norway has become the first NATO member to bring in conscription for women. Now, both men and women will have to serve Norwegian's military and in their military, and they will be expected to share mixed dorms. Now, most will sign up when they are at age 19, with a third of this summer's draft being women. Now, Norway Bolivia, Chad, Israel, Mozambique, North Korea, those guys already have women in the military, like mixed in the military. But I just want to remind you, there were countries, and it slipped my mind just now, that had women join the military, and out of the qualified women that were there, at least two-thirds ended up pregnant out of basic training. I'm not saying that that's not going to happen, so please don't jump on me. I know, Kamish, I see you on there. So when you come on, don't beat me up for that one. That's just a fact. I just want to put that out there. It was just in the news. All right. Now, Qatar, their investment fund buys $22 million stake in the Empire State Building. Now, an affiliate of Qatar International Authority, or QIA, has made a $622 million investment in Empire State Realty Trust, which is a New York-based company, and it owns the Empire State Building. So just so that you know, another foreign government or someone offshore is buying land here. Just thought I'd do the story. Now, a veteran who was 48 lied about being injured in combat in Iraq to claim over $700,000 in disability benefits and received a Purple Heart. Now, Daryl Lee Wright, a veteran in the state of Washington, that would be Washington State, not Washington, D.C., he claimed over $700,000 of federal benefits after he lied about being wounded in combat and being severely disabled. Now, you know, as soon as I go to this, I think I'll go directly to the Ryan Lochte because it's all in the same vein. But no, I won't do that next. Here's another one. Fox News White House correspondent who had an affair with a Las Vegas stripper is coming back on TV to report. Now, Ed Henry will be returning to the network after almost 4 months off of the air, and he's going to come back. The 45-year-old will no longer be the network's chief White House correspondent, though. He'll serve as a general assignment reporter and will be reporting on the presidential he will not be reporting on the presidential campaign at all. Henry, who was married with two children and previously worked at CNN, was sidelined by Fox after Touch magazine, you know, the gossip magazine, revealed his affair with Natalia Lima. Now, Lima is a veteran stripper, is what they're calling her, said that she and Henry engaged in a 10-month affair after meeting in Las Vegas at a gentleman's club, and she performed steamy $2,000 an hour routines for him. I don't know what that means exactly. And Henry in a private VIP skybox at the Sapphire in Las Vegas. I know, you know, just in case Low Key is listening, it was at the Sapphire. Not that anybody needs to go to the Sapphire, but just wanted to put that out there. Now, that would be in my, you know, privilege file. Just wanted to say that. Ryan Lochte has been charged by Brazil police for making false statements over that fake robbery scandal in, you know, at the Rio Games, and could face 6 years in prison if he's found guilty. So the commissioner with the special tourist police in Rio said that they've asked for a summons to be issued for Lochte. However, the 12-time Olympic medalist can opt to send a lawyer and avoid answering questions in court himself. But if he's found guilty, he's going to have an international warrant out for his arrest. So we're going to see how this pans out. But again, with the privilege of which made him tell a lie, I think he probably doesn't think that this can happen. We'll see how that goes. Actress Sarah Jessica Parker has stepped down as the face of the pharmaceutical company Mylan after it emerged that the company had raised the price of the life-saving EpiPens by 461%. Used to be $100, now $600. And a post on Instagram, the Sex and the City actress said that she was disappointed, saddened, and deeply concerned, and called for Mylan to reverse its price hike. Now, her announcement came on the same day that the company, which has faced an outpouring of scorn since the price increase came to light, It was challenged by Senator Joe Manchin, the father of the CEO, Heather Breach. Now, again, the CEO did say that they're going to lower the price down to $300, but they raised it up to $6, made all of that money, and she got a big bonus. We're going to see how that plays itself out. Now, you know, speaking of the Olympics, there was a Polish runner that said, I came second in the white race. Now, after a big uproar, she said that she claims that she was the white silver medalist in the 800 meters final. And she said, I guess it's Joanne Joswick, said that she's sorry for the uproar after she claimed to be the second white in the race. Now, what she meant was the black folks who won came in first, but out of all the white folks, she came in second. So she got the white silver medal. I don't know. I kind of thought it was funny, but maybe not. But she has kind of apologized, I guess. I don't know. Now, Texas college students will carry concealed guns into the classroom the fall semester begins, which is began now, as a federal judge refused three University of Texas at Austin professors' request for the injunction to keep concealed handguns out of their classroom. So they lost, and they will be able to keep them. Now, still, community colleges and or private colleges, I think, are exempt, and community colleges don't come in until next year. So not all colleges, but, you know, most of the public colleges are, you can carry a concealed gun to class. Now, Arkansas City accused of targeting poor people and running a debtor's prison after a judge sends a pancreatic cancer patient to jail over a $200 bounce check. Now, a federal class action lawsuit that's claiming that the city of Sherwood, Arkansas, has operated a de facto debtor's prison that targets poor people, among them a cancer patient, Lee Robertson. Now, if you don't know, you cannot throw people in jail for owing money. But some people seem to do that, and they get away with it until they're sued for it. But there's no such thing as a debtor's prison. Just like the term peon, you can't hold people in peonage anymore. That's what that was called. But you can't do it. It's the reason that's been outlawed. You can sue them and have injunction against them and, you know, garnish their wages, but you can't throw them in jail for owing you money. Now, a former Navy SEAL who wrote about the raid on Osama bin Laden's compound admitted that he made a costly mistake by sidestepping the government with his best-selling memoirs, and he over-exaggerated, by the way. But he has come out and said that now that he's getting sued by the government. Now, you're not supposed to talk about it, and he did, and he lied. Now, Virginia Governor Terry McAuliffe on Monday restored the voting rights for more than 13,000 felons, refusing to back down after an earlier attempt to do so was blocked by the state Supreme Court at the urging of Republican lawmakers. So in Virginia, 13,000 felons are restored their voting rights. We'll see how this plays out in court, and I'll let you know if anything changes. Now, the owner of Papa John's franchises in New York City has reached a $500,000 settlement with authorities this week, set to benefit more than 200 workers who were denied minimum wage and overtime pay. So New York State Attorney General Eric Steiderman says that a two-year investigation by his office has uncovered labor violations by 8 separate Papa John's franchise in more than 30 restaurants. Now, saying that way seems like $500,000 is not that much money. But here we go, Papa John's. And I'm not going to even say anything about those nuts. Anywho, that might be coming down from corporate that they're not paying people. Now, a homophobic Reno police officers have paranoid schizophrenic white woman was a lesbian and fabricated evidence and sent her to prison for 35 years for a murder committed by a man, making her the longest ever wrongfully incarcerated woman in U.S. history, is what her attorney said. They are now in court because Reno police framed her. They said it was a man, but they claimed that she was gay and that she looked like a guy. She was 35 years in jail. Now, a father who was freed from Philadelphia jail after 25 years, after DNA evidence showed that he was not guilty of rape and murder. Now, Anthony Wright, 44, was 20 years old when he was convicted in the death of a 77-year-old Louise Talley in Philadelphia. He walked free Tuesday and reunited with two of his granddaughters. So there you have it of, you know, rushing to judgment and throwing people in jail for no reason at all. Just seems like we've done this story before. Now, a black man, 48, who was shot in his home by veteran Indianapolis police officers after he called the police for help with a robbery. Now, Indianapolis cop Christopher Mills shot Carl Williams, who was 48, black man, in his own home on Tuesday after the man called the police to respond to a robbery, is what authorities are saying. And again, you just can't get away with just shooting people. I just want to put that out there for the record. A black teenager who was shown a video, who was shown on a video getting thrown down by a white officer in Iowa, received thousands of dollars to keep quiet about the settlement, including a secrecy provision that may have violated their state law. Now, after resolving his federal lawsuit for $95,000, the city of Waterloo negotiated an extra $5,000 payment to Malcolm Anderson last month in exchange for guarantees that the 19-year-old and his attorneys would not have any press conferences, making any disclosures to civil rights groups, or ever mentioning the deal on social media. Now, the Associated Press obtained the confidentiality agreement from the city under the Iowa Open Records Law. So get this. They told them to be quiet, but the press still got the information. But critics say that it may be illegal for Iowa's government agency to demand confidentiality, and it goes against the public's interest. So we're going to watch this in court. But they're in court now because they paid Max $5,000 to keep quiet. You were wrong and you lost. Just wanted to put that out there for the folks in Iowa. Now, a Detroit minister who collaborated with Al Green, the R&B gospel legend Al Green, feels no love and happiness. I know they had to throw that in, right? After hearing on the radio that she supposedly threw scalding hot grease on the R&B legend in 1974. Now, this has been a running joke in the community, so I'm just going to get through this story first. Now, Green's grits itch injury was much of what is a much, guys, it is a historic event. We all know it and well-known, and it was put in the singer's biography. Now, as summarized by the History Channel, the singer had been in the bathtub on October 18, 1974, when his girlfriend, Mary Woodson, burst in and showered him with hot scalding grits. Now, through the events of that day, though the events were settled, a lawsuit was filed on Monday in Wayne County Circuit Court that says the tale was retold inaccurately on March 9, 2016, on Inside Detroit with Mildred Gaddis, and on Radio 1 on their WCHB 12,000 on Radio 1. While on the air personality Greg Dunmore told listeners that the plaintiff, Laura Lee, used to live in Detroit and moved to Chicago, was the one who threw hot grits on Al Green, and now she's suing. He lied on her, now she's suing. And I feel bad for Al Green, who has to relive this because they now got the person wrong who actually threw hot grits on Al Green. Okay, just wanted to tell you that. Now, black Republicans cheered for Donald Trump this week after a newfound outreach to African Americans. I guess that was happening. And But the GOP presidential nominee must take the message beyond the arenas filled with white supporters and venture to inner cities, is what the black GOPs are saying. Now, many rank-and-file black voters, meanwhile, dismiss the overtures as another racially kind of charged pitch from the campaign aimed exclusively at whites, from Trump's emphasis on law and order and his critiques of the president, who is the nation's first black chief executive. I just might want to add that. It was Trump in 2011 who fiercely challenged the President Obama's birth, his U.S. citizenship, and an 81-year-old retired business owner from the predominantly black suburb in East Cleveland said that any minority who vote for him is crazy. They ought to have their head examined. And I'd like to believe that guy. Now, I can go for that. So Donald Trump is reaching out when he has a history of himself of having his housing units or housing management company put C's on black people, or I guess for colored, on black people's applications so that they wouldn't move into the building. He settled out of court with the federal government and was made to make sure that he had fair housing. So Donald Trump has a history of that, and his father was arrested at a Klan rally, but he's the one who's throwing this stuff out that he wants to reach out to black folks. I just wanted to kind of throw that in there for good measure. I don't know why he would do that, but, hey, that's what he does. Now, a lawsuit revealed by Andrea Tanteros against former News Fox head Roger Ailes Tanteros claimed that in addition to sexual harassment, Fox employees were subjected to several derogatory comments based on race or sexual orientation. So she said after she and Stacey Dash, the actress Stacey Dash, had a class on air when Ailes said to her, "I heard you were mean to the black girl." She said Kimberly Guilfoyle, the host of High Five, was reportedly called by Ailes the Puerto Rican garden utensil and Easy and the Puerto Rican street fighter. Now, to say all of that, Dash has not commented on the allegations in the suit, but that is in the lawsuit that was filed by Andrea Tanteros. Now, Stacey Dash, I know you're still at Fox, but you may want to consider, because you apparently are the black girl. Just wanted to throw that out there. All right, listen to EspriNet News on Espri Radio. Let's go to the commish. Hey, Kathleen. See, I didn't see when you came on, so I just want to say that for the record. I didn't try to rush the story because I knew you were going to cuss me out. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. So I didn't know if you I know we yelled about Stacey Dash before, but I know how this is going to go. She might have just found out that she was the black girl at Fox, and I kind of feel some kind of way about that.
She might have a problem with that.
Yeah, I think that's probably going to hurt her feelings.
That they're calling her the black girl. She might prefer to be referred to as something else.
Yeah. Well, yeah, matter of fact, she might not have a problem with that. I heard you had a fight with her. Yeah.
Which one of them would have been a black girl?
Yeah, because would it be Puerto Rican and the black girl? Because he probably wouldn't have differentiated. They look totally different, but he probably would have called her that anyway. Oh, man. Oh, you know, I meant to do this story. Graduate students at a private university won a right to unionize on Tuesday after the National Labor Relations Board overturned its prior decision that deprived an entire category of workers. So they actually, and I'm trying to think of what school it was, but it was a small school in Wisconsin, I think it was, that said that they can unionize. Can you imagine that? The grad students can unionize. I don't know what that means exactly in the case, but that's what was in court.
The work?
Say it again. I didn't hear you.
as far as their work?
Yeah.
Working or something? As grad students,
they probably work for the university as like work study, and they're saying that they can unionize. I'm sure they'll get fired, but I'm sure they'll all get fired. Yes. Now, the teen who hurled a rock from an overpass, leaving a woman with brain injuries, and led her husband to commit suicide, he was freed after almost a year in prison. So let's play black or white for a second. His name is Kiefer McGee, 19, was granted parole after serving 11 and a half months in jail for a 2014 rock-throwing incident in which an Ohio teacher, Sharon Budd, lost an eye. And he stayed in for 11 and a half months. Okay, let's play black-white on this one. A drunk woman, 20, was not wearing pants, was arrested after driving to the police station to pick up her friends who were there for DUI. Now, to make matters worse, police in Troy, Michigan, said that Jocelyn Reardon arrived to get her friends around 3 a.m. on Sunday, and the two had already been released, so she couldn't find them, but she had no pants on, and they arrested her for a DWI. She was going to pick somebody up to get them out of jail, and she got arrested.
Was she drunk?
Yes, but she was drunk driving, going to pick up her friends out of jail at 3 a.m.
That's hilarious.
Nice.
That's hilarious.
I know. One more time, right? We just can't get away from the comedy of, hey, we should just let people off again. Now, the class action, I don't know if I did this one, but the class action claims in court from the Corrections Corporation of America didn't tell investors that the federal government was unlikely to renew its private prison contract, causing the stock to drop 39%. When the news broke, so they're suing private prisons of America. Just wanted to put that out there. A Kansas grandmother was shaken up after an anonymous racist note was left on her mailbox saying that this neighborhood doesn't want any more blacks in it. So this woman in Wichita, Kansas, isn't that where the president grew up, in Wichita? No, he was in another part of Kansas, I think. Yeah, but the woman is white, but the hate-filled note was aimed at her biracial grandkids. Now, she has 9 grandkids, but 6 who are black. They had an anonymous letter, handwritten letter. They said it left her shaken up, and she stopped sending the kids outside to play. She said, I look over my shoulder, and I watch, and I hope this will never happen to anyone else. I'm like, Grandma, welcome to our world. But that is another one of those stories. Yeah, see, I can't really laugh at her, but
can't really laugh. I hear you.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, it's still going down in the Donald Trump world.
I hear you.
Hey. Okay, so here's a story. I know we have about 4 minutes left in the program, but I'm gonna have to do this story because I know you're gonna I'm gonna give you some time on this one. So the American Film Institute canceled the planning screening of Nate Parker's critically acclaimed Birth of a Nation in light of the controversy surrounding the 1999 rape trial. Now, the cancellation comes after the resurfacing of the rape allegations. Now, he was found not guilty, by the way. So we don't know why people are bringing this up, or the victim had passed away. So Parker was acquitted in 2001, and the verdict was appealed, and new trial was granted in 2005. It never made it to court. However, the woman decided not to testify again. So Birth of a Nation, which follows Nat Turner's Slave Rebellion of 1831, opens up in theaters on October 7th, but they are not doing the American Film Institute because they're bringing up this old case against Nate Parker.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. At least Fox, speaking of Fox Studio, Fox Searchlight is defending Parker and they released a statement saying the movie is aware of the incident and stated that Parker was found innocent and cleared of all charges. So that's what the studio said. So in case somebody is trying to get that movie not to be released, because you know what a Nat Turner story is going to do for everybody, Fox News is going to have a problem. Yeah. Nat Turner story is going to kill him. So
absolutely.
We knew where that was going.
They probably didn't do the research yet.
Oh, and when they do, they're going to be shocked.
Uh-oh.
Somebody's trying to dress up as Nat Turner for Halloween. It's going to be a problem. Hey, you know what? Luckily, they didn't get Matthew McConaughey to play Nat Turner. Because that's how Hollywood went down. Or John Travolta. Hey, I'm just trying to put that out there. I'm not asking them to do it. I'm just saying it has happened. All right.
Wow.
Man,